This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9:01 a.m. Time for the regular Thursday COVID brief. And if anybody, I think I'm hearing someone on the other side, on the other end, with who may have their radio on. If you do, turn that radio off, guests. Let's introduce the guests right now. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, information officer, are you on the line?
I am, Kathleen. Can you hear me?
Woohoo! Got you. I've got you just fine. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. And Nurse Erin Walbrecker from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Erin, are you there? Oh, I had Erin and Erin. Oh, wait.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to everybody. So I wanted to start with the numbers because that's the first in my mailbox. If you have questions, you can call 235-7721 for the panel, or you can email Kathleen at kbbi.org. And we'll get your questions to the panel this morning. First, that's always sitting in my mailbox, is what are the trends right now? So I'd like to start with Nurse Erin Walbrecker and then go to Dorotha Ferraro so we could get the statewide trends for COVID positivity rates and such. And then we'll get the Homer, the local perspective. So Nurse Erin Walbrecker, can you talk about the trends in the state right now in terms of testing positive for COVID and in terms of how the hospitals are responding and availability of care?
In terms of the numbers, we definitely are still seeing cases coming across, obviously. We have luckily been seeing the trends kind of going down. Now, obviously, we still want to make sure that we're still taking all the proper precautions and all that kind of stuff. We still have Christmas, we still have New Year's. We want to make sure that we are not, you know, having a false sense of security or anything. We want to take all the precautions. I know that we still have, you know, our large numbers on the board and all that kind of stuff. In terms of the hospitals and all that, I think that Dorotha would probably be the best person to talk about the hospitals and the numbers down here in terms of Homer and all that. In terms of the most recent numbers that we've seen coming across, we have seen a decrease in the total numbers.
Okay, thanks.
Kathleen, I'm happy to
go right ahead, Dorotha.
I'll put some numbers to that. So we are seeing a pretty significant decline in numbers. And again, not certain if that's because people aren't testing or if the spread is really decreasing throughout, if transmission's really decreasing. So I'll give an example from December 20 to December 27, that week, we had 28 new cases in the service area. Whereas in the last week, we've only seen, I believe, 9. So that's a pretty significant week-to-week change. But the it's easy to kind of get excited about that and say, oh my gosh, yay, things are slowing down. But you know, there's so many variables. People wait to be tested. Test results might take time to turn around. So a one-week glimpse, although exciting, is not necessarily a clear direction of how things are going. But statewide, we're seeing the same type of decline and decrease. And right now, as far as hospitalizations statewide, hospitalizations down to, as of last night, 69 hospitalized COVID positive, and an additional 4 what is considered PUI or under investigation. So those are really low compared to a couple weeks ago. So the state really is coming off of that red alert level. Locally, we're still seeing the same level of activity as we have over the last month, with just occasional 1 or 2 hospitalized COVID patients at any given time.
Thank you. Now, I have a question from Jane. So we're moving on to vaccines now. Jane asks, What happened to the extra doses of vaccine? Each vial had more than expected, and how was that excess distributed? That's the first part of her question. I think I can answer that. I believe I learned this from DeRotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital, that fewer vaccine vials than were expected arrived, but that extra vaccine in those vials was used so that South Peninsula Hospital and was able to vaccinate every person that was initially asked for the vaccine, because there was extra vaccine in the vials, even though there were fewer vials delivered than expected. Do I have that right, DeRotha?
Yeah, I guess I can just sign off and go back to my paperwork and,
no,
and email. Good job. Good job, Kathleen.
I've been paying attention.
And I also want to explain a little bit more. We had, I think we requested 220 or 225 and got, you know, fewer than that. And then we were able to add more doses from the extra amount. But the one thing that is to remember is that even though somebody says they want one, everything does not align, because when you make that decision that you want one and you got get on that list for the healthcare workers, well, it's a, you know, there's a length of time until it arrives. And once it arrives, you might be out of town or you might be sick, and you aren't, it's not recommended to get a vaccine when you're under the weather. So there's reasons too that the numbers don't align perfectly. But we ended up doing 214 vaccinations in the first round.
And then the second part of this question is South Peninsula Hospital and Homer in general able to keep the vaccine cold enough? Did you have, at South Peninsula Hospital, did you have any problems with the Pfizer vaccine having any waste?
We did not have any waste. And it was an issue, though. It took tremendous logistic planning, because when the Pfizer was scheduled to arrive, we did not yet have the adequate freezer up in line and tested. And so we had to take ours in a thawing phase. So once the Pfizer started thawing, you only had 5 days to get it administered. So we really pulled off some great logistic cartwheels and antics to get everybody vaccinated in that window of time. And then even within that thawing window, the refrigerated shelf life, if you will, even within that, there's hurdles, because once you open a vial and you dilute it, then that also lessens its shelf life, and you have to use that pretty close to immediately. So there were lots of hoops, and the team was really flexible, and we did it into the evening hours and on weekend so that we were able to reach everybody within that window of the useful life of the vaccine.
And there,
none went to waste here.
And there are another 50,000 doses, over 50,000 doses coming to the state or in the state now. They are, I believe, I'll check with you, with Aaron and DeRotha, are they the Moderna vaccine that doesn't need that same cold storage that the Pfizer vaccine needs?
The Moderna was the next shipment in, and that is the shipment we are expecting next week. And the Moderna has a good refrigerator life of, I believe, 30 days, and a normal freezer life of, I believe, 5 to 6 months. So we are not as restricted as far as storage for that, because we do have that available here, and most clinics would. The bigger issue is just learning what the vials hold and how many doses will actually be in a vial. We all realize from the first round with Pfizer that you don't know until you actually go through it.
Okay, and it's about time for the second round of the Pfizer vaccine to be administered. Is that happening now?
That will, here at the hospital, that will happen next Thursday and Friday. We're trying to get all second doses administered next Thursday and Friday. But you have to understand that we don't even have those in hand yet. So we hope to receive those mid next week in time to be able to do the second dose at within the window that they are to be administered.
And one more thing before I move on. From you, DeRotha, I received a scam alert for vaccine scams. Nurse Aaron or DeRotha, are you seeing any anyone playing that out here in Alaska of calling people and asking for their social security number, their credit card or bank account number, telling them they're going to sign them up, telling people they're going to sign them up to get the vaccine. Have you seen any of that in Alaska so far or heard any of it? Nurse Aaron, are you there?
I'm here. I have heard about this scam. I have not heard anybody reporting it to me personally or anything like that. I've seen about it, like, on the news and on Facebook and all that, but I have not heard about it personally reported to me, no.
Okay, I'm going to get back to you and ask about contact tracing here in just a minute. Dorotha, have you seen any evidence of this scam in the state so far?
I have not, and the great news is that the state of Alaska now has a system in place to pretty much eliminate that. And what that is they have set up a vaccine website, and on that vaccine website is a map, and the map has all of the registered vaccine providers on the map. And you'll see if you go on to that, like right now, you'll see that South Peninsula Hospital and SVT Health and Wellness are the two that are enrolled in the Southern Peninsula as of right now. And that will change as more vaccine become available. And more importantly, as the net gets larger on who is eligible to take it. So it's a really great hub that not only informs everybody in the state equally as to what level we're at and who is eligible, and more importantly, where you can get it from a registered, certified vaccine provider in the state of Alaska. So that's just a really good tool for safety and for equitable distribution, and so that everybody has this access to the same information.
Thanks so much. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. If you have any questions for the panel, you can call 235-7721, or you can email kathleen@kbbi.org, and we'll get your questions to the panel. Back to Aaron Waldbrecher, Nurse Aaron, from the Homer Public Health Center. You have been, most of your work right now involves contact tracing, is that correct?
That is correct.
And how's it going? I mean, with so many people, with the numbers so, as high as they are, how are you able to do your work? How many people are you tracing in a day, or contacting in a day?
Quite a large number.
Like 100?
So 100? Yeah, more than that. it varies from day to day, obviously, but we've got quite a large team throughout the state. And so on a day-to-day basis, you know, we're calling hundreds of people, just so if they're testing positive, or, you know, we have a large team throughout the state that's calling out everybody that tests positive, to try to outreach these persons and trying to best that we can mitigate the disease, to try to contain it, to make sure that it doesn't spread anymore. So we're reaching out, making sure that, you know, people are safe and healthy, and trying to get in touch and saying, okay, well, here's the education that we might need you to provide to your close contacts, or here's the education that, you know, hey, who are your close contacts, so that we can outreach them to make sure that they're quarantining, and to make sure that they're not spreading potentially this disease to anybody else. So there's going to be, you know, some questions that we're going to have to ask. Yeah, sometimes I can feel uncomfortable if you're going to be like, well, you know, I was with close contact with this person, or yeah, I went out to eat dinner here, or yeah, I went to work here, or I went to work there, and naming these close contacts. But it's all about keeping Alaskans safe. That's what it boils down to.
And can you remind people of, if a contact tracer calls them or they need to have a relationship with a contact tracer, can you let people help people understand what kind of questions you're going to be asking them?
Sure. So the primary thing is we're going to be looking at what we call a day zero, which is when we consider your day that you're starting everything. So that's going to be if you're symptomatic. So if you have symptoms, that's going to be your day zero. Or if you don't have symptoms, if you're asymptomatic, your day that you took your sample for your test. So if you test positive but you don't have any symptoms, and then we're going to take 2 days behind that day, and that's going to be when we're going to start looking at, okay, well, who you might have had contact with within a 6-foot bubble for 15 minutes. That's going to be a close contact. So anybody that you may have had contact with in that time frame, could potentially be carrying around COVID-19 and could potentially catch COVID-19 from you. So that's who we're going to be kind of be interested in to see, okay, well, that's going to be somebody that may have potentially have caught it from you and might actually potentially have the ability to spread that to somebody else as well. So that's why we're asking that person to quarantine, because we don't want to have, we don't want them to get sick, but we don't want them to potentially give that to somebody else either.
Okay, thanks. That's Nurse Erin Walbrecher from the Homer Public Health Center in the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Here's a question. This one, for Jenny Carroll and Dorotha, I'm guessing. So people administering the vaccine are finding that a number of first responders in the city are declining to take the vaccine, are refusing to take it. Will there be any mandates from the city that first responders who are employed by the city have to take the vaccine? And if that's not true, will their duties change because they're refusing to be vaccinated? So Jenny Carroll from the city, are you aware of this, that a number of the first responders in town are refusing the vaccine?
I know that a certain percentage of first responders are not signing up for the first round of the vaccines, and reasons are varied and complex. It's and not everyone, the city will not be mandating that everyone take the vaccine at this point. So there are a lot of reasons for either waiting or having the vaccine another time. As you know, there are many personal and health reasons why people may choose that, and or waiting for a different kind of vaccine to come to the market. So those are all very personal choices, and the city is not mandating that people take the vaccine.
Thank you. That's Jenny Carroll, spokesperson and information officer for the city of Homer. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, if you have employees who are declining to take the vaccine, do their duties change the way that they will work? First of all, do you have a percentage of your employees who are refusing the vaccine?
Well, right now, we have, like I said, we've done about 214, and we're about to begin round two of that this weekend. So after, not this weekend, next weekend. So after next weekend, I'll have a better feel for what percentage, because like I said, right, we came in right under the wire of the first round of everybody getting it who wanted it at that time. But as far as I totally echo everything that Jenny just said, and we're seeing similar conversations here. I want to remind everybody that, you know, the COVID tool bag is big, and a vaccine is just one tool in a large tool bag, and one of the cheapest, easiest, you know, no risk tool is physical distancing and wearing a mask. We're in a situation at the hospital where, as long as we are masked, even if you have exposure with a known positive, that does not put you at risk enough to have to go get tested or be on quarantine or anything like that if both parties are masked. And because of that, we do require masking at the hospital. And now we are asking, now that the supplies are well stocked and well available, we are asking anybody that is having any type of patient interaction. As a patient, you're here for an interaction with an employee. You might be getting an x-ray, you might be coming in for a wellness exam, anything like that. If you're going to be interacting with somebody while you're here, we're asking that you wear a, what we call procedure mask. You can purchase it over the counter. We have them here for free for anybody coming in. And as long as both parties are in procedure masks, there's no exposure risk whatsoever. If a person receives care with a cloth mask on, and we learn later that they are positive, then our employee will have to quarantine and test. But if both parties have the procedure mask on, they won't have to do that. Okay. So that's a really easy tool for the COVID toolbox to help prevent the spread.
And so the second part of that question was, when you have people, so you're not going to, those, the people who decline the vaccine in healthcare at the hospital, they will not be assigned to different tasks. They're going to keep doing what they're doing.
They're going to keep doing what they're doing with the proper procedures and equipment in place to protect fellow staff members and patients.
Okay. And Bruce asks, what's the website showing who is eligible for the vaccine? When will the pool of vaccine recipients be expanded? And I know there have been public comment meetings about this. I was in on one on Monday. Nurse Erin or DeRotha, do you have any information about when the pool of vaccine recipients will be expanded? Nurse Erin?
Are we talking about like a public expansion, or are we talking about more healthcare expansion? Because I know right now we're still focusing on that phase one, in which we're still vaccinating like our healthcare workers and our like high tier personnel right now.
Right, phase 1A, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I think everybody's jockeying right now who wants the vaccine to get their name on the list for phase 1B, if I'm correct.
Yeah,
we will.
Go ahead, DeRotha.
we expect to learn today, Kathleen. The state announced last night that they will release today the details of the next phase. But to be clear on phases, the real next phase begins Monday. And what that phase is an expanded healthcare net. And that's anybody who has direct patient contact. So that might be an eye doctor, a dentist, people that weren't in the first phase 2 weeks ago. And so starting Monday is the expanded healthcare interaction. And then later in January will come the next. And today is when we will learn what the following phase will entail.
Okay.
The allocation committee met this week. They heard public comment. They made recommendations to state DHSS, and state DHSS will announce today what that is for coming up later in January.
Thanks,
again,
DeRotha.
We don't even have those vaccines yet. So
all right.
There's lots to it, so still have to wait on the vaccines.
So I want to switch gears here and talk to Jenny Carroll from the city, because the mortgage and relief funding, CARES Act funding, has received an extension. Jenny Carroll, public information officer for the city of Homer, can you update people on what's going to happen with that funding? It has not, some of it has been distributed, is that correct?
Yes, it has, actually. The extension is due to Congress recently in late December approving a new coronavirus relief stimulus bill. And the bill, though it didn't provide new CARES Act funding to municipalities, it did extend the deadline for the use of those funds that we received last year, or this year, I guess. We're on the last day of the year. But at this stage of the game, the extension will not change much for the city of Homer. The extension is, when is the eligible period to extend those funds? Given how close this change came to the deadline of December 30th, which was yesterday, all of the city's relief funds had already been allocated and scheduled for expenditures by December 30th. The one program that this change will benefit is the, as you said, the mortgage and relief program, rent relief program that we're working with AHFC on. We have extended the time that AHFC has to process applications through January 8th. I talked with AHFC last week, just before Christmas, and we still had over 100 applicants in the active status. And so when I talked to them and we learned of this extension, we went ahead and extended the time that AHFC can reach out and verify applications with our applicants. At this point, AHFC has contacted and or left messages for all applicants on the list. So I want to ask anyone in Homer who's applied, if a verification provider leaves you a message on your phone or sends you an email, I want to warn you that you must contact them to continue the process. So you have through January 8th, and we hope to get a lot of people in process before then. If an applicant gets verified after Homer's program deadline, HFC told me that they would still work with eligible applicants to try to obtain relief funding. So we're happy about that. We'll see where we get on the 8th, and I can update you after that. If people have questions, they can certainly call the helpline for the Homer Housing Relief, and the number to call is 833-309-0146, and that's a toll-free number.
Thanks so much. And
yeah.
Jenny Carroll, is there anything else from the city that that you want to let people know about? I mean, tonight there's fireworks, which seems like the perfect social distancing activity. You do it from a distance and you're outside when it happens. Sounds like the perfect thing to enjoy for this evening.
We also have, looks like we'll have clear skies for it too, which I'm very excited about that.
Excellent. Anything else from the city today, Jenny?
No, one thing I wanted to say is about that new coronavirus relief bill. While it does not provide any more funds to municipalities like the previous CARES Act did, it will be providing for continued enhanced unemployment insurance and direct payments to individuals and families. And there will be money set aside for small business relief and for vaccine procurement and distribution and contact tracing. It will also include relief funding for education, particularly a set aside for elementary and secondary school relief funds. So while the municipalities will not be getting a distribution, folks should keep their eyes out and know that there is relief funding still coming from the federal government. And as best we can, we'll keep people informed and able to access those programs through our website.
Thanks so much. That's Jenny Carroll, Public Information Officer for the City of Homer. Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. Dorotha, is there anything else on your list today that needs to get out to the public?
I just want to thank people for their patience. I know how anxious people are about learning about when they can get the vaccine. I have the hospital website updated with information and links, and really encourage you to just check there and watch for today's announcement on who all will be eligible in the next tier. So thank you and Happy New Year, everybody.
Thanks and Happy New Year to you, Dorotha. And Nurse Erin Wahlbrecher from the Homer Public Health Center, do you have any final words or comments?
I would just like to thank everybody. I would encourage people to celebrate safely this evening. I know a lot of people are going to want to get out there and celebrate the new year. I would encourage people to still, remember to please stay away from large gatherings. Please enjoy your new year. Celebrate. Just do so in a safe manner. And we'll see you next year.
Thanks to all three of you. Thanks for being here for the regular Thursday COVID brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson.